from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Grab your plaid, grab your flannel, grab your hat. It's the best day of the week. It's a Thursday, and you are listening to the Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Shout out to our friends at Jiffy Lube for sponsoring the program. We have, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I think I think most people will typically, most radio hosts will go, hey, we got a huge show, jam-packed show. Yeah, not really a jam-packed show today. Not a lot on the docket, I'm not going to lie. No, there's not. We have things to talk about. We have 2 hours to fill. We're going to fill it.
We're just in neutral. We're just going to coast through this day.
Yeah, no, not even that.
No, we're not.
No, but it's, look, there are days, look, when, if I called today a jam-packed show, if I went, yo, we have so much to get to, more wide receivers are getting paid, we've got the Kings worry meter, we're talking NBA playoffs, we got all this. If I did that, what do I call it when it's Monday during football season and the 49ers just played the Chiefs and the Kings just beat the Celtics and we have so much to get to? What do I call that? That's a jam-packed show.
Yeah. And, oh, I think every day is a jam-packed show. Like, I think, like, we maximize 2 hours the best we can.
Yeah, no. So, that's,
except for when we riff about weird things, like.
No, that's maximizing 2 hours.
Yeah.
The riffing is essential. No, but I'm talking about just from a standpoint of, like, what do we have for you today? We have plenty. It's not like we're going to get to 10:15 and go, guys should, I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, that's when we start talking about the guy who was on Zoom driving his car while in court, you know.
That's actually 11:15. That's a good idea or bad idea.
It's on here.
Spoiler alert. It's a terrible idea.
It's
don't
on
do
here.
That.
Terrible idea.
You and I today, we both wore patterns on our shirts.
Mm.
I'm wearing a flannel. You're wearing more of a traditional short sleeve button up.
Yeah.
And somebody said that I converted you to plaid. You've never been anti-plaid.
No, I just
you were anti-flannel.
Well, I just didn't have a lot of plaid or flannel in my closet for whatever reason.
I think, too, it's a little different during basketball season because you're, 38 days or whatever it is out of the year, you're going from show to arena.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have your basketball attire, your winter attire. Just kind of in general, your fall and winter attire is not as pattern heavy.
Yeah, I also like even like when we get into fall and the fall like colors come out, I'm usually already in basketball mode. You know, basketball starts in October, but really by like mid September, like full swing, and then you know like late September, first week of October, I think now is training camp. That used to be in September. This last season was weird. They started everything like a week late.
Yeah, it's probably smart. I think as much as the NBA can eat into the summer, I think they should.
Mm.
I've been an advocate for a while now of just literally start the season Christmas Day.
Oh?
Opening day is Christmas Day. And then okay. You push everything up where you're now going through, is that August?
Okay. By Christmas Day, I am in full-blown, like robot mode. Like, I am, like, in the grind, like, typically.
How so? As dad on Christmas or as basketball writer?
No, as basketball writer. Like, dad on Christmas, we go all out on Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
our big holiday, but...
Sure.
Like I'm usually in such a mode that by that point, like we're 30 something games in or 25 games in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like in like cruise control mode where I'm just like, you know, trying to stay alive the whole time.
Sure.
Yeah. I think maybe that's more what it is, like survival mode.
Yeah. But that's the thing. If you're starting the season, then it doesn't have to be on Christmas Day specifically, but December 22nd.
Okay.
Like end of December, third week of December. Just start things there, push the NBA season through the summer, and then the NBA season ends and you're in September, all right, football starts. Like, help us.
Yeah, I'd also, like, if we're also talking about, like, the NBA and, like, some of the things that they could change, I would still like to see them, like, flop the draft and free agency. Like,
yeah.
To start a free agency, like, 2 weeks before the NBA draft.
Yeah, the NFL does it, what, like, it's like 6 weeks free agency is before the draft.
Yeah. I don't like their free agency period, the NFL. I think it takes too long.
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of. There's the, like, first wave, right? There's the big deals that get done right away, but then there's, you know, there are good players. Like, Justin Simmons, the safety that the Broncos released, still available. Just out there.
That's crazy to me.
He's just chilling until training camp. He doesn't want to go to OTAs.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
He'll see if a team has a starting safety get hurt in OTAs or something, and he'll go get paid and get a starting job. No, but it's actually funny because I've always kind of thought that the NBA should do it like the NFL. You do free agency first, and then you do the draft. But Kyle Shanahan this year actually advocated for, like, I wish that the draft was before free agency, because then you can do the draft. And then you can attack free agency to fill whatever holes you didn't fill in the draft.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit 6-1, half dozen of the other. But
yeah, I just think that because the NBA only has two rounds,
mm-hmm.
and like realistically only the first round is guaranteed to be part of a team 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
That it just would make more sense that you would be able to do free agency and work all those trades and even like, set up where you're making trades in free agency / trade mm-hmm. season building up to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think it'd be cool.
That's why that's one of the things I like about Adam Silver as a commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are people who have some beef with him for sure, and I think that's fine. But I enjoy the fact that he's just kind of open to everything. And the idea of, like, in the NFL will never ever swap how they do free agency in the draft.
No.
Never. Because they are televising combines and pro days, and there is that buildup to the final Thursday in April. That is going to be when the NFL draft is, and it may push to May as they add an 18th game and do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So you may see it go later, but they want to drag that out and get as much content out of it as possible. You can't do that if you're putting the draft in the middle of March, because then you have this huge dead period until free agency starts. So they're trying to drag out. So the NFL is never going to do that. But if you told me that in 5 years, Adam Silver went, hey, you know what? Given how the new CBA is working and given the new luxury tax penalties and the aprons, we need to switch up how we're doing the offseason. Like, I think that's on the table.
Mm.
I think that's very much a thing the NBA would be open to doing.
Well, I'd even say, like, over the last couple of years, the NBA has, like, shrunk down the gap between the draft for draft night and free mm-hmm. agency starting. So mm-hmm. free agency now starts the 30th of June
mm-hmm.
as opposed to July 1st. That's right. When you can start negotiating. You can't sign a contract until the moratorium is over six days later.
The legal negotiating window or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But the draft has been moved to the 26th, and then they're doing the two-day draft now. So the first round's the 26th, the second round's the 27th. And so there's only a 3-day gap between that and the start of free agency.
We have not talked about this. The 2-day NBA draft.
Eh.
Your thoughts?
Well, like, okay. I am totally fine with the 2-day NBA draft, but I would personally like to see the NBA add one or two, add more mechanisms to transfer players back and forth between the G League and the main club.
Yeah.
I would also like to see the draft go to 3 rounds and give some of the players at least a little bit more, like at least you'd have draft rights and stuff like mm-hmm. that to players.
Yeah.
And expand the G League, make the G League a legitimate minor league system.
Yeah.
Like, even like this year, I would have loved to have had there be a point in the season where the Kings, without it being a 10-day contract situation, where they could have pulled up a Stanley Johnson. They could have pulled up a, I don't know, Jalen Noel. Scal, LeBissiere, who like for stretches of the season really deserved it. I mean, he played extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
But guys who aren't eligible for two-way contracts to move back and forth and more freely between the two leagues, even... what's his name? Mason Jones. Like he was in the last possible moment that he's eligible for a 2-way contract. He's not eligible for 2-way contract moving forward. So you're not going to be able, either he's going to be on the main roster or he's not going to be here, mm-hmm. or you can bring him to camp and sign him to a, you know, give him a little bit of money and then cut him and then have him go to your G League. Mm-hmm. But again, he can't come up unless you have a roster spot and you sign him to a 10-day. I wish that there was more ability to move players back and forth.
So maybe your roster in this instance is you have 13 or 14 roster spots and then 4 or 5 like flex spots.
Yeah,
that basically you can shuttle guys back and forth.
Yeah, I would like to see like 2 flex spots, and when they do come up, they would get like the version of a 10-day contract.
Yeah, that's ostensibly the practice squad in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to see it where they can come up and go back down.
Yeah.
But also that other teams can steal that guy and sign him to a main roster.
Right.
They can't do the same thing where they're pulling him up for 10 days or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they can, you know, sign him to a main roster type deal.
Right.
Like I think that there would be like just more continuity between the two leagues. Mm-hmm. It would strengthen both leagues. It would promote like sending a player down on a short rehab assignment,
mm-hmm.
which is again something I don't think is done nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see players that oh well, they can't really come back on the court because we had, you know, 4 games and 6 nights and we haven't practiced, and so we can't really get the guy out here on the court until he practices a couple of days. Okay, well, why not send him to the G League, even if he's just going on to practice,
right?
To send him down, and that's something that doesn't happen on the regular between the two leagues, and it's something that, like, I really do think that they're so close, but they're missing the boat on the G League.
Yeah, yeah, so. I'm totally with you. But with Adam Silver at the helm, I could see them eventually expanding it into that, because I do think that he will explore every avenue to grow the league, to mitigate some of the problems with you've got NBA players just kind of hanging out in the G League because they can't get brought up.
Yeah.
You see guys losing opportunities. You get more injury problems. I think it makes sense to do that.
Yeah. Even if we had something like a super two-way, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Like for guys mm-hmm. who have aged out of the standard two-way.
Yeah.
But a super two-way. And so you can bring guys up who, again, are 28 years old and deserve another shot in the league,
yeah,
but aren't going to get it because of the contractual things and because you're very limited. Like, if you don't mm-hmm. have your roster full, then you run into this, you know, that you don't have enough two-way contracts or two-way days.
The Kings would have loved to have given Stanley Johnson
20
minutes one night this year.
Yeah, why not?
Just to see what it looked like. But you can't.
No.
Because you're not going to give him a roster spot.
No.
Man, that's tough.
Very difficult.
Jalen Waddle got paid.
Mm.
Another wide receiver gets a big time deal. What does that mean for the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk? And who is more important to their team long term, Brandon Ayuk or Malik Monk? We'll talk about that. We've got a Kings worry meter to debut. We'll talk NBA playoffs, which continue tonight. Good idea or bad idea? Plenty coming up. Not a jam-packed show, but plenty coming up over the next couple hours right here on The Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Thank you.
demon time.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That makes me so happy. That's James. I'm Kyle. Yeah, Jalen Waddle got paid, in case you missed it. 3 years, $84.75 million dollars, $76 million guaranteed. We don't have the structure of the deal yet, so we don't know exactly what it looks like. But $76 million in guarantees is $24 million more in guarantees than any other receiver has gotten ever. But again, I don't know if those are full guarantees or guaranteed for injury or what.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the initial numbers reported are always just massive. So it's unclear at this time. But what is becoming apparent is that every day goes by, every day that goes by that Brandon Ayuk doesn't get a contract extension, it gets a little more pricey.
Yeah, it's not like someone's going to all of a sudden sign like a $18 million a year deal and bring the market back down.
No.
They're just not going to.
No.
And so, like, I think the Niners may have hurt themselves by waiting and waiting and waiting and not just getting something done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what that means. Like, maybe it's possible that Ayuk's people are like, hey, we're just going to hang out and wait.
Yeah.
And see how this market, you know, fully figures itself out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go from there. But yeah, these are big contract numbers and difficult things for the 49ers to like envision when they're building out their team for the next 5 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of maneuvering they're going to have to do.
Oh, totally.
And that's why, you know, I see the question, and frankly, it's a question I've had too, where you're kind of asking, like, why aren't the Niners giving him a deal that he'll sign? But it's because of this, because you had Nico Collins, who is extension eligible, and you had Devontae Smith, who was extension eligible, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then you had A.J. Brown, who got his extension. And now you have Justin Jefferson. As much as the 49ers may want to get a deal done, you've also got Brandon Ayuk, who's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to wait and see what Justin Jefferson gets.
Oh.
So I know the ballpark. He's not going to get more than Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's full stop, a better player.
Yeah, would hope not.
But he's looking at, okay, Jalen Waddle, that's a nice little comp. Three 1,000-yard seasons for Jalen Waddle so far. 18 touchdowns in 3 years. Very impressive. The touchdowns right about on pace with what Brandon Ayuk has done through 4 years. Ayuk has two 1,000-yard seasons, but he's been an all-pro. That's probably in the ballpark. But you're going to wait around and see, okay, hey, where does Justin Jefferson wind up landing? What does that look like? And then I'll go a little bit south of that. I want to see what the going rate is for a young star wide receiver right now. And then I'll judge based on that. And the Niners may have a deal that's $27 million a year with $50 million guaranteed or whatever it is.
Mm.
And he's going, nope. Like, I'll wait.
Yeah, I think at some point, like, you have to figure out what it is you're going to do here and just, like, push forward. Because what you can't do is keep, like, hoping that something different will happen if you're the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And Ayuk, it's like, his people, they're smart to wait. Like, at this point, you've seen how the market just, not only has it changed, but it's solidified itself. And
yep.
I think for me, it's one of those things that, you know, you can't envision this team without him like 3-4 years from now. He's going to be one of the most important players on this team as this team changes its age arc and as guys age out of the league.
And you notice with Devontae Smith and to a lesser extent, A.J. Brown, with Jalen Waddle,
yep.
And to a lesser extent, Tyreek Hill with, who am I missing? Nico Collins.
Oh, yeah.
These are all top receivers for young quarterbacks who are going to get paid or going to be franchise quarterbacks. Tua Tagovailoa, whether you think he's getting paid or not, he's going to get paid. And if you're the 49ers and you're looking at Brandon Ayuk, you have a young quarterback. Outside of like Fred Warner, this is the position I'm operating from when I talk about the 49ers need to pay Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of, because they're going to pay Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa and Fred Warner for the next 3 years, everybody's expendable to keep Brandon Ayuk. Flat out. Because if you have a player in Ayuk who has been an all-pro, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, you have to figure that in the post-Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Trent Williams era that maybe the 49ers are a little bit more pass heavy. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan's always going to run the ball. That's always going to be a foundation. But in a world where Deebo Samuel's not around, George Kittle's not around, Christian McCaffrey's not around, which is the reality over the next 2 or 3 years, having a superstar wide receiver on the perimeter is going to be really, really helpful, because you don't want to roll out Trent Taylor and Dante Pettis, whoever their starting receivers were in week one back in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
That was a mess.
Oh, yeah.
So I just
that you got
you
it right.
To, you have to pay him.
You got it right with him.
Yeah, you traded right? up to get him.
Yeah, and not only that, but you hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy that you kind of feel wants to be here. And so it's time. It's time to figure it out. And,
yep.
You know, like we had this segment figured out, like the Malik Monk and Brandon Ayuk situations.
Mm.
Like there's only so much the Kings can do when it comes to Monk, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All they can do is $17.4 million starting
like
salary.
Like that's literally the ceiling. That's not a like, well, they would have to pay more in ta- like, no, that's as much as they can offer him.
Yeah.
By rule.
No, totally, totally. But I also agree with sort of the premise that these are players that you have to move forward with if you're these particular clubs. Mm-hmm. If you look at Monk, you look at Ayuk, these are like centerpiece players, whether they're, again, McCaffrey is a star, just like De'Aaron Fox is a star, and Sabonis is a star, just like, mm-hmm. I'd even say like Trent Williams is a star,
sure.
Or even Bosa. Like, there's a way you look at these things and you can, you know, even though the NFL has so many more players and all mm-hmm. this stuff, but you also have to have these other secondary players who can evolve into something even more. And I think it's both of these franchises, they don't know how close they are to like destruction, like without these mm-hmm. guys. These are players that mean so incredibly much to what they're trying to do.
Which loss would be easier to overcome, if Malik Monk walks or if Brandon Ayuk doesn't stay?
I hate to say it, but I think the Niners would figure it out. They would figure, they've got a young receiver they drafted. They've got Juwan Jennings. They've got Deebo. It would hurt and it would be mm-hmm. a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that because the NFL and the way that offense is built and the other pieces, you might be able to survive that. I don't know how the Kings would survive not only, you know, losing Monk the player, but Monk the personality. And then where do you go from there? Because you're entering an offseason where you don't have a bunch of mechanisms to add additional players.
Yeah.
You can package and trade players and trade picks and all that stuff, but you don't have like cap space. You don't have a bunch of exceptions that you can just go crazy and sign a bunch of dudes all over the place. So I think it just puts you in a weird situation if you're the Kings. And also, you're losing one of your top three players. How do you find another guy who's going to fit in the top three, maybe top four of your rotation without like gutting half your team? And that's tough.
I think I'm inclined to agree, but I think I'm basing that off of this year. I would be interested in 2 years to see how I felt about that.
Okay.
Because if Brandon Ayuk is walking, and you're getting a just diminished, like Deebo Samuel is going to be 30 in a couple years. You're getting a diminished version of Deebo Samuel. You're either getting a diminished version of or losing Christian McCaffrey. Like, you run the risk, if you let Brandon Ayuk walk, of having, like I said, Dante Pettis or Danny Gray or Ronnie Bell, like that level of player at receiver for your young quarterback.
Yeah, that's
who
tough.
Doesn't have Trent Williams on his blind side anymore and doesn't have Christian McCaffrey warping defenses and doesn't have George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk. Like that's the reason I think if you're going to make the case for Ayuk, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Where you're betting your franchise, you're betting the future of your franchise on Brock Purdy. The Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch thing, they got a pass for the Trey Lance debacle because they fell backwards into Brock Purdy with the last pick of the draft.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Brock Purdy can play a little quarterback. So they got a pass for a move that would have gotten most head coach GM regimes fired. But this time, if you're paying Brock Purdy and that's going to be your $55 million man, That's it. That's your bet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're letting his top target walk? The guy who's going to be with him in 3 or 4 years?
Who's going to be with him the bulk of his career.
Yeah, like that's... Like, that.
While he's establishing himself,
yes,
for the next like 8 years, mm-hmm. this is the guy who should be his number one target, his mm-hmm. number one reliable player that he's with.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm with you.
Yeah, but to your point, I would trust the 49ers. If let's say they both leave. I would trust the 49ers to figure out their offense in the immediate and in the long term. Far more than I would the Kings. Not because of Monty McNair or because of Mike Brown, but A, it's Sacramento. It's hard to get free agents here.
Mm-hmm.
B, the salary cap rules and restrictions are different in the NBA. And I think the Niners would have, just to kind of back up your point, an easier time over the next 2 or 3 years figuring out how to survive without Brandon Ayuk. Whereas if Malik Monk walks, it's kind of like, well, hope D'Anthony Melton can do something.
If you can get him,
right.
Can you get Bones Highland?
Yeah, like, and then you need him to develop into that kind of player. So,
yeah
I think that Malik Monk would be the tougher player to replace. But that's, I mean, I think you could pretty easily make a case for either one. Let's loop Mike Brown into this discussion because that's something we're going to do throughout the offseason. And we'll debut our Kings Worry Meter as well coming up. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Coming out in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, but if you're listening on the radio or on the free Odyssey app, or maybe online,
We appreciate you immensely as well. Yeah, big shout out to Liquid IV. Pro tip. I'm not a doctor, but for me and my experience, I'm sorry, somebody was talking right by the door and everybody looked like at me.
At you.
Or it looked like they were looking at me, but it was somebody right next to the door. Anyways, doesn't matter. Oh, there's free things out there. I can't wait to go see what it
new
is.
New free things?
Yeah. It's not. Shout out to Chick-fil-A, by the way. Coach Brad brings in Chick-fil-A, it feels like, twice a week. But anyways, Liquid IV. I'm not a doctor, so I can't vouch for what's in it.
Yeah, the authenticity of it.
Yeah, yes. But I use it, and I like it.
Okay.
We were talking about that at the break, and I couldn't remember the name of it, but then everybody hit me with it. So
okay, I haven't tried that one.
Liquid IV. Yeah, it's a favorite. It's a favorite of mine, and I swear again, like I said, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say. But for me personally, this is not medical advice. For me personally, it has helped the post drinking hangover.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Or at least
gotta stay hydrated.
Like your consumption of water, right?
Yeah.
It's something that's water-based. You're pouring in water.
Yep. Oh, okay. I mostly drink them, though, when I'm before, during, and after I've had some alcohol. I also just drink more responsibly now because I'm an adult.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the other,
yeah, I have it on and off switch.
Of
yeah. Like, some people don't, but yeah, I do have an on and off switch. Like, oh, I've had enough. I'm good. Yeah.
Jim knows what's up. Jim knows exactly what's happening.
There we go.
That would have been a bad time to do our read that we have. I'll do that later. You wrote this down. I think it's really interesting. Are the Brandon Ayuk and Mike Brown situations similar in any way where you're looking for an extension? Both people looking for an extension,
mm-hmm,
who have 1 year left on their deals. Both of them are looking for market rate for a player / coach of their quality.
Or what they do. Yeah.
And we're sitting here with both going, why are they not hammering this out?
Well, not only that, but I think every single step of the way, the going rate has been solidified. Right?
Mm.
So I think that's where I, like, Ayuk, there isn't like a star level receiver who decided, hey, to throw caution to the wind and take like a 4 year 60 with $32 million guaranteed. That hasn't happened.
Not a thing that happens.
And in the NBA, like we were counting yesterday, we got up to, I think we had Damian and Kenny and I, when I dropped by with D'Lo and Casey, I think we had got up to at least 9 coaches we could count that were making $10 million or more. And it's like just the going rate, like yesterday it got solidified again. Ty Lue just got $14 million a year contract. And, you know, a couple of days before that, you know, Jason Kidd. And then a couple of days before that, like Mike Budenholzer. Like it just, you just keep getting the understanding that is the market price. And so that's where I always kind of like, if you pull back and you say, okay, well then why isn't a deal getting done? That would be because either someone is asking for something outlandish or someone else isn't fully 100% committed to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, I think we have to sort of root out and get to the bottom of what exactly, why is it that we're seeing, you know, the Kings and Mike Brown, why is one side telling Adrian Wojnarowski that we're done negotiating? Like, mm-hmm, why did that happen? And where do we go from here? And do the Kings not know that if it's not Mike Brown, it's going to be somebody else who is asking for a very similar dollar amount, because that's where NBA coaching just went. And that's what, like, again, if the Niners aren't going to bring back Brandon Ayuk, they're going to have to find somebody else like Brandon Ayuk 2 mm-hmm years from now and pay that person what they should have just paid Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah. Or you're taking big swings for a draft pick.
Yeah.
That may or may not pan out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, yeah.
No,
I was thinking about that on the way here, and Lizzie in our YouTube chat in the chatty house asked this question. Wow, sick.
Yeah, there you go.
Go me. Lizzie in the chatty house asked this question. He was like, who are you going to get? What coach are you replacing Mike Brown with?
Yeah.
And I think that's question number one. Like, that's anytime a person says, and this is not what's happening with Mike Brown, but follow me. Anytime a person says, well, fire that coach, it's like, and bring in Holmst.
Yeah.
Who's the person that you, because if you're, now, if it's just a bad team, all right, when it was the 2015 49ers, it was really clear that Jim Tom Sula was not cut out to be a head coach. That team was not going to go where they wanted with Jim Tom Sula, head coach. So you go, fire Jim Tom Sula and replace him with who? Literally anyone. Chip Kelly, bad head coach, bad NFL head coach. They went 2-14 with Chip Kelly. And you go, fire Chip Kelly, replace him with literally anyone. Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay at the time. But it wound up being Kyle Shanahan. In Mike Brown's case, if you're going to go, fire Mike Brown, all right, okay. Or if you're the Kings and you're going, we're going to let Mike Brown walk. Boy, you better make sure you have somebody who's definitely better.
Well, and that's the problem. Like, I think you can find somebody who'll take the job.
Definitely.
Without any question. There's going to be someone who goes, yeah, that's fine. I'll take...
1,000%.
I will take the $8 to $10 million a year that now first-year head coaches are getting.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say that. Okay. And they may say, oh, okay, well, we really want to pay you $6 million. Okay, it's my first NBA head coaching gig. Maybe I'll take $6 million.
Uh-huh.
But what are you doing that? Like, why would you start over? Why would you risk continuity? Why would you risk the culture that you've built? Why would you risk the program and the players that you currently have and how fragile this thing is?
I don't...
Because it is. That's what... Like, I can point out, like... In the time that I've covered the team, like 6 different times where the Kings could have done something that would have made them make the playoffs. And during that the 12 years of the 16-year drought that I covered. Like, you signed Bogdan Bogdanovic and you match his salary that he got with the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
People forget the Kings missed playoffs by two games that year. And they did not replace him at all in free agency. They signed Hassan Whiteside and they signed Glenn Robinson III to replace Kent Bazemore and Alex Len and Bogdan Bogdanovic, your starting shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
You miss playoff by 2 games. You know, again, if the bubble never happens, does Vlade Divac lose his job? Does Luke Walton get put in the grinder?
Sure.
You know, if the pandemic doesn't happen, do the Kings actually make the playoffs because they were rolling? They had won, they were like 20-8 or 20-11 over the last 30 games with Bogdan Bogdanovic starting over Buddy Hield. They were like, we had this bout, this heavyweight bout between them and the Pelicans the night that the whole world shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have maybe decided who made it to the playoffs and who didn't as the 8th seed. Like, there's all of these little tiny moments. And my point is that it's not just to drag history back in. It's to say, like, we're at another moment. Like, this is a tiny moment where a good thing can happen, a bad thing can happen. And I don't want to risk a bad thing happening because that's where you kind of lead yourself to if you're going to just change everything.
Yeah, are you feeling good about Kenny Atkinson or Darvin Ham?
No.
Yeah, there's not. Yeah, I don't know. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. All of that was to say, by the way, the Brandon Ayuk and Mike Brown contract situation is very similar.
Yeah, it does feel that way, doesn't it?
A lot of the same questions.
Where you just keep going, huh, another guy got paid what you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fascinating.
Interesting.
It can be done.
Yes.
All right. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on, man?
This is Big E.
Oh, my bad. My bad, Big E. Our call screener got it wrong. What's up?
I actually want to talk some baseball, if that's cool with you guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you're both A's fans, but I just wanted to say, how about them Giants? They might have lost yesterday, but they took the series, and that's how you kind of go throughout the season. I haven't been this excited since the season Buster Posey retired. My friend was saying that we should aim for first place, but I think the recipe for success has always been a wild card. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, dude, so when the Giants got hot, they beat the Rockies. I think they swept the Rockies or took 2 out of 3 from the Rockies, and then they went down and they took 2 out of 3. They think they took 2 out of 3 from the Pirates, and then they took 2 out of 3 from the Mets, and they had all these comebacks. And I think there was a sweep in there somewhere as well. They were playing some really, really good baseball. But then you went and looked, and you're like, well, the Rockies might be the worst team in the league, and the Pirates aren't very good, and the Mets are the Mets, so I'm not buying it. But then they go in against Philly.
Yeah.
And they're down in game one and wind up beating them 8-4. And then 2 days ago, shut them out through 10 innings in a bullpen game? In a bullpen game, you're hoping to, if you give up 3-4 runs, you're hoping to, you know, oh, good job. Well done, everybody. But you hold a really, really, really good Phillies team to zero through 10, and then you squeeze out a run, you'll take that 1-0 win, and then yesterday, like Big E said, you know, you take a loss in the series finale, but if you're taking the 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, who are off to a scorching hot start, that's really, really impressive. And to me, it's not a coincidence that the Giants started playing some of their young players and added more electricity and speed and athleticism to their defense, to the base paths. Huh, look at that. They start winning. Shocking how that happens.
Yeah, it's to me, it's really interesting, too, because the whole league has kind of waited for them to figure it out. Like, they aren't far out of the wild card, like what he's talking about. Actually, I think as of right now, they're like the second wild card team. And it's really, really early. But if I'm the Giants, I at least have that positivity. And it's probably time for your team to go out and start planning on what bat they're going to get. Because I don't think they have enough to get them there again. This is what it always feels like with the Giants. They're always at least one big bat away from like being a complete
every year.
Team. And I mean, the fact that what they haven't had a 30 home run guy since what? Barry Bonds left. That's just crazy.
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Yeah. I mean, the A's stumble into a guy who hits 30 home runs every year. And I mean, you can say, well, their park, you know, it's easier to hit home runs, whatever. Okay. Like, it's the same park that some guy hit 73, you know, like who like set a record for the most home runs. I mean, we can put like a giant asterisk by that, but that doesn't change the fact that like you can't hit home runs.
In modern baseball, not having a player hit 30 home runs is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's
for that amount of time.
Yeah. But, that's wild.
Yeah. Good on the Giants. Maybe they push for first place. If you can win the division, I think that's great. But they should, if you keep playing well, you can get in with a wild. It's not getting in to a wild card in baseball is just not the same as it is like in the NFL, where now all of a sudden you're on the road for every series, and oh my God, there's all this travel, and you don't get a bye, and first place, wild card, whatever. If you're in the tournament, you give yourself a shot, and I think the Giants are playing well enough to get there right now.
Yeah, sure. I agree.
Don. You're on the Insiders. What's going on? Hey, Don.
Oh, hello?
Yeah, Don, what's up?
Oh, no, this ain't Don. This is Leezy. What's up?
Oh, my God, hey. Leezy. I'm sorry. Our call screener messed it up. What's up?
You're good. We on Demon Time. Hey, guys, I just had a quick comment and a question. My comment was, we always on Demon Time here. I don't think Kenny Atkinson will come here because him and Mike Brown coach together on the Warriors, and if they're doing Mike Brown dirty, Kenny Atkinson might think the same for him. And my question is, do you think if the Kings were to replace Mike Brown, do you think they would maybe hold out for Monty Williams, who the Pistons are kind of on the fence about?
Thanks. Thanks, Lizzie. Appreciate it.
I think the Pistons, like, they owe Monty Williams like a Brinks truck full of cash. And they can't get out from underneath that. They're not going to do anything with Monty Williams, I don't think. And, like, I just got to be honest. Like, did I miss something where Monty Williams was, like coaching genius? Like, I'm not sure.
He took the Suns to the finals? And he's a really great guy, like a...
And got fired, like
he is a... What's the word I'm looking for? Like an A+ human, but I don't. I'm with you, man. I think the Pistons brought him in because they thought they were going to win this year. They thought they were going to like compete for a play-in or playoff spot this year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then that went horribly. But now, to me, you're committed to that. That's your guy now.
Yeah.
You're going to have all these young players, and then you're just going to pull the plug in year one, and now you're going to have to underpay another coach because you owe Monty Williams $90 million still, or however much insane money it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. And to your point, I don't know if he's an upgrade over Mike Brown.
Well, I mean, he has a career win percentage of .485, and part of that's because he went 14-68 last season.
Yeah.
But, you know, in his 4 years in Phoenix, he had a .628 win percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also a really good team, and then they, like, just bounced him. But before that, with the Pelicans, he had a .439 win percentage.
Yeah.
Like, and we're talking, he had 5 years to get it done, and threw up two seasons where he was over .500, his first year and his last year. And again, I don't know.
I don't find him that inspiring of a head coach.
Yeah.
Like, if here's the deal, and this is the other thing, just to kind of stick on this. I want to get to what Tom said about Sam Cassell real quick, but any move they make that is beyond that, any move they make in reality,
mm-hmm.
that's in the realm of what's could happen, is going to be underwhelming. There's no, if Eric Spoelstra was going to be a coaching free agent and the Kings could go get Eric Spoelstra, then great. Do that. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the league, in my opinion. Go and do that. But that's not going to happen. That's not a thing that's going to happen. So anything if they, okay, Mike Brown is the guy this year, but now they're going to move on next year. Okay, James Borrego. Is that Darvin Ham? Is that doing it? Is Kenny Atkinson doing it? Tom L. in the chat brought up Sam Cassell. I actually think Sam Cassell is going to be a good NBA coach. And he was a good, heady NBA player, and he's just been on benches for a really long time. And then you hear players talk about him as a coach, and he's gotten nothing but praise from them.
Yeah, but that makes you wonder. Like, everyone knows who Sam Cassell is. There's no question about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't got a head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means, because...
I go ahead, sorry.
Well, there are coaches that come along all the time. I mean, Jordy Fernandez just got a head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sam Cassell is a much more known name. Sam Cassell played mm-hmm. in the league. He was a very, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, recognizable. He's been an assistant longer than Jordy Fernandez was an assistant, mm-hmm. and he still hasn't gotten a head job.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me, like, kind of makes you wonder, like, what exactly, how does he get a job? And why is it that he's not getting a job? So I
follow that logic for sure, and I think there's something to it. But at the same time, you get guys like Steve Nash who go from player development assistant with the Warriors to head coach of the Nets. And then you've got J.J. Redick who's suddenly in the running to be the head coach of the Lakers. I don't know.
Yeah.
Chauncey Billups got a head coaching job with the Blazers. I don't know, man. I'm in on Sam Cassell, though, as an idea. But to that point, maybe he's not going to be a good coach. You don't know. You know that Mike Brown can coach basketball.
Yeah, I don't know
how
either.
Many ways we can say that the Kings should extend Mike Brown.
Yeah, I just know, like, Sam Cassell's been an assistant for, I think it's 14 years, either 14 or 15. Like, he was an assistant in 2009, 2010 for the Wizards. So 1, mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4, 5, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years he's been an assistant.
Jeez.
And this is what I'm talking about. The guy that's right next to him, Charles Lee.
Chuck Lee.
He's been an assistant for 10 years, but a lower-level assistant the early part of his career, not like Sam Cassell, who had the cachet of being an NBA player. And Charles Lee, who is on the same staff with Boston, already got the Charlotte job. So, like, and he's been one of the guys who's been, like, in the mix after job after job.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Kings job, there was some interest there to at least sit down and talk to him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know what it is about him or why it is that he hasn't got a job, Cassell, that is. But... we're talking about 16 years as an assistant. He's been around the league forever.
Yeah. Somebody said Mark Jackson. I think it was a bit.
Yeah.
That's a hard no.
Yeah, it's a hard no.
That's a big time no for me. King's worry meter. We're going to break this out every once in a while, and I think it fits with something that where was it? Stephen McBride said in the chat. He said, if Mike Brown is gone, it's a return to the dark ages in the 916. I don't know if that's the case. It would sure feel like it. That would be the vibe for sure. So let's do Kings worry meter. I have three things that are happening with the Kings. How worried are you about these things? You can play along in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Or if you want to give us a call, 916-909-1320. All right, the first thing on the Kings worry meter. Mike Brown extension. How worried are you that a Mike Brown extension is not going to get done?
I think it's 50-50 that it gets done. And I know there isn't a lot of, like, from what I've heard, there isn't like a lot of positivity around it getting done. But these things change quickly. And again, I think at some point, players need to say something too. If Mike Brown is the guy they want here, they need to make that known, because the players hold as much power as anyone. You know, again, if Malik Monk is going to sign here or not, based on whether Mike Brown is going to be, it has more than 1 year as a head coach, then you clearly sign Mike Brown. Like, that's it. Like, if Malik Monk says, hey, I'm coming back, if Mike Brown is here, that it's over. Like, there's no more discussion.
It's no question.
So that's the problem that I have. It's like, I don't know. And I don't want to say it's more than 50-50. I would hope that it's better than 50-50, but I can't say that it is.
Man, that's tough. I am 31% concerned.
Okay.
Yeah, that was on accident, but hell yeah.
I love that number.
I am 31% concerned.
Nice.
Thanks. That they're not going to... I'm still of the mind that there's enough... A, logic in the building.
Yeah.
And B, I think if you're the Kings, because public opinion doesn't always matter, but I think if you're the Kings and you're kind of weighing... Like, hey, okay, things are kind of going the right direction the last couple of years. You know, we've got the fan base buying back in. We got the fan base excited. And then you turn on the radio, or you jump into the chatty house, or you jump on social media, and you see the reaction to the Woj report that the Kings and Mike Brown are tabling talks. Whew. I don't know how you confidently go, oh, yeah, the right thing to do is to let him walk.
Yeah, I mean, if you're crowdsourcing it, you clearly just saw... what the crowd wants.
Yes. And I think that's, if it's not universal, it's very, very close. So I am 31% concerned that it will not get done. But like I said, I think there's enough logic and enough happening outside and hopefully inside the building that cooler heads will prevail, and they will realize that the right thing to do is to commit to Mike Brown.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at, 31%. Second one, Malik Monk. Staying, getting, signing, not getting a contract extension, but signing his contract extension with the Kings.
Yeah, I would. Okay, so first of all, the Kings are the one team that can negotiate with him, like, beforehand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're already putting it all out there, right? Anything they can give him, they're going to give him. I, at first, Mark, I was more like 40-60 that he's not going to be here. Mm-hmm. I've since moved that more to like 35%, 65%, 65% that he'll be here, 35% that he won't. But now I'm probably moving it back to like 50-50, because I do think all of these other things are going to play into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyone who's going to sign with Sacramento, whether it's Malik Monk or some guy with that the Kings find on the mid-level exception, they're going to want to know what the path forward is here. Like, because it's not like these guys don't, I mean, they play 2K. They play the game, like, not only like off the court, like on the court. They understand that there has to be improvements, and they're going to want to know that those improvements are coming.
Yeah. I will give you my answer when we come back, because we have to break. But we'll continue talking about Malik Monk. And then there's one more thing we have to get to on the Kings worry meter before we start talking about the NBA postseason. Good idea, battered, bad, good, but 3, 2, and 1. good idea or bad idea is also coming up on the Insiders, plus the handoff coming up in the next hour. Plenty to get to in hour number two on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.